Hello, and welcome to Ukraine Calling, your weekly review of what's been happening in Ukraine with a focus on a main issue. I'm Bohdan Nahailo for Hromadske Radio in Kyiv, and here's a look at some of the stories that were in the news this week.
The trial of former Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych on charges of high treason has begun in Kyiv.
For thousands, the city of Avdiivka is still their home. It's now the epicenter of the worst fighting in eastern Ukraine in 2 years.
М'ята, чебрець, базилик і розмарин замість вождя революції в самому центрі Києва. На постаменті, де раніше стояв пам'ятник Леніну, висадили їстівну клумбу.
Ukraine is gearing up for the Eurovision Song Contest to be held in Kyiv. The main arena in the Kyiv International Exhibition Center has been built and will stage the first of the semifinals on May the 9th.
May Day holidays and Eurovision were top of the list in our news items. Most Ukrainians heaved a sigh of relief as the traditional May Day holidays and celebrations passed off peacefully and they were able to enjoy the good spring weather. All of this week, Kyiv has been preparing for next week's Eurovision Song Contest. Participants, visitors and tourists have been arriving and a special fun zone has been opened on the city's main street, Khreshchatyk, with more attractions provided on the historic Sofievska Square. The mood has been upbeat. Meanwhile, the Ukrainian government has confiscated $1.1 billion worth of assets that was allegedly stolen by ex-president Viktor Yanukovych and his associates and transferred it to the accounts of the state treasury. The money had been held frozen in bank accounts since the ex-president fled Ukraine in February 2014, forced out by the Euromaidan protests and Revolution of Dignity. The National Security and Defense Council said this week that the state savings bank had begun confiscating the old regime's holdings in line with a court ruling. After the ruling, and after a designated time period had passed, no one had laid claim to the money in question. And former President Yanukovych is also being charged with treason in proceedings that were started off in Oborlon District Court in Kyiv on the 4th of May. He is accused of treason, violating Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity, and abetting Russian aggression. Although he is being tried in absentia, he is represented by two lawyers in the court, and a judge has ruled that Yanukovych will be allowed to participate by video link. According to Ukrainian authorities, a key piece of evidence is a letter in which he asked the Russian authorities to intervene in the situation which had developed around the protests. This letter was displayed at a UN Security Council meeting by the late Vitaly Churkin, Russia's representative. The sentence for this charge could be from 10 years to a life sentence. The military prosecutor stated that they would be seeking a life sentence. Meanwhile, the war in eastern Ukraine continues. Shelling has continued all along the front line. And according to the Ministry of Defense of Ukraine, it increased by 30%, and especially from heavy weapons, likely due to a new supply of ammunition being delivered from Russia. As a result, 9 more Ukrainian soldiers were killed and 40 wounded. And on the 1st of May, one civilian was killed and another wounded in an explosion when a tripwire device planted by a Russian-backed militants was activated near Mikhailivka. This incident highlights the dangers for civilians living in and near the war zone. And this week, an international report was released by the Geneva International Center for Humanitarian Demining, which listed Ukraine as having the highest casualties in 2016 from anti-vehicle mines. That is 24% of global casualties. In 2016, there were 37 such incidents and 101 casualties registered in Ukraine. The Minister for Temporarily Occupied Territories and Internally Displaced Persons, Vadim Chernysh, has stated that Ukraine will not stop supplying water to the uncontrolled territories of Donetsk and Luhansk oblasts for humanitarian reasons. The previous week, Ukraine had cut electricity supplies to the separatist-held territories for the reason that these territories had accumulated large amounts of debt for electricity bills. Well, welcome to our latest discussion, focusing on a theme, and today we will be looking at how one chain of restaurants, one of the most successful chains, the Borisov gastro family, how it's prepared for and responded to Eurovision. In fact, as I was coming in to the studios, Vierka Serdyuchka, if some of you may recall him, was filming outside with what I suppose was an imitation of a former Soviet May Day parade, all in good humor. But it gives you an idea of the vitality and color in the streets of Kyiv on the very eve of Eurovision. For Eurovision, there have been a lot of preparations, and we'll be talking a little bit more about this. But the Borisov gastro family have done very well. They've prepared themselves, and they have got probably one of the best spots in Kyiv on Sofiysky Maidan, on Sofiysky Square, where they've put up several, let's call them pavilions, with representing the various restaurants that Borisov has. So to talk about all of this and the state of tourism and the restaurant business in Ukraine and anything else related to Eurovision, I've invited Maria Banko, who is the manager dealing with public relations for Dima Borisov, Dmytro Borisov, and his chain, the Borisov gastro family. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you for introducing me.
Well, it's a very busy time for you. Are you pleased with after all of these preparations, how Kyiv looks on the eve of Eurovision?
It's a very difficult question. Some ideas and some projects are really very high level and we are very inspired. But some of them are just a bit archaic. We want to present Kyiv as a modern city and something can may be done better.
Okay, well, let's start with the Borisov gastro family. You know, I've invited you here not to give a plug simply for your company, but I confess that two of my favorite restaurants in Kyiv, Ostanya Barrikada on the Maidan, or under Maidan, and Kanapa on Andriyevsky Uzviz. These are my favorites, and that's where I take my guests, my friends, my tourists as well. But you, the company, you've managed to position yourselves and have a virtual monopoly on Sofiyska Ploshcha, on Sofiyska Maidan, the heart of Kyiv at this moment. How did you manage that?
Folk Ukraine is a company that organizes holidays at Sofiyska Square. We remember the holidays for Christmas and for Easter. They just decided not to invite no-name food companies that can produce only grilled meat or mulled wine and nothing more. And they just wanted to invite us and to represent modern Ukrainian cuisine, something more than grilled meat, varenka, and so on. And we were very pleased to accept this invitation. We had a month of preparations, and now here we are. We present four different aspects of modern Ukrainian cuisine at Sofiyska Square now.
Yes, well, in fact, you started earlier because I think Kanapa set the new standard
yes.
for modern, sophisticated modern cuisine.
It was 4 years ago, yeah.
And now, more recently, a year or so ago, if I'm not mistaken, Ostanya Barrikada, the last barricade.
Yes, the last barricade opened 1 year ago. Kanapa was the first restaurant of modern Ukrainian cuisine in Ukraine at all. It was a little bit crazy idea, and it was a big dream of Dima Borisov. When it opened, not many people accepted it. Not many people could understand it. But we had lots of tourists, and we are very happy to present Ukrainian cuisine to them. And now, after my done after Revolution of Dignity, we have plenty of Ukrainians that are interested in Ukrainian culture and Ukrainian cuisine as well, and we are happy to see them as guests.
Yes, I mean, I too was a bit shocked, or shall we say surprised, when we went to Kanapa and I saw black varenike, for instance, with fish inside, or, for example, a borscht served in half cabbage with a hollowed out cabbage. Very novel ideas for me, but the food is genuinely excellent and the service is wonderful. But tell us a little bit more about the man with the ideas and the enterprising figure who has created all these new places for Ukrainians.
Dima Brusev.
Yes.
Dima Brusev is a big dreamer.
How old is he about? He's still a young man from what I see.
37. 7 years ago, he started this way. He had a great experience in business and marketing as well, but when he was about 30, he decided to have one cozy place. It was Barsuk. It was the first restaurant in our
Barsuk.
It was a first restaurant in our gastro family. It was a small cozy place with comfort food, and Dima Brusev was the one who cooked, who served, and communicated with people. And it became very popular because it was something new. It was something completely new for Ukraine, with all these luxury places and not very interesting food. So it was just a huge start. And
so at a time when there was a lot of wealth around in the Yanukovych period for the wealthy higher-ups, this went against the grain. It was quite an experiment. It was quite a risk.
All our projects are very, very risky. And we are happy that after years we can see that they are successful and they are famous, and we can develop more and more.
But the Borisov chain has also set standards not only for the high quality of the food and the service, but you've presented cuisine in a very sophisticated way, linking it to a modern notion of Ukraine. You've given Ukrainians and Ukraine in that sphere a modernity that perhaps they lacked.
It's our crucial idea. All our new restaurants, Kanapa, Ostanya Brikada, Chicken Kiev, Vatra, we open Vatra today, this evening, maybe in 2 hours, I will open new restaurant of modern Ukrainian cuisine. It will be a steakhouse. All our new restaurants are dedicated to this idea of different aspects of modern Ukrainian cuisine. We want to combine authentic recipes, very great diversity of local products, and modern techniques to present something completely new and inspiring.
But what has struck me also is that, for example, Ostanya Barikada, it is so Ukrainian. All the products are Ukrainian. The staff speak Ukrainian. And it's linked to the Maidan, it's linked to the Orange Revolution. And maybe those who haven't been there don't know the secret that it's linked to the last barricade of 1240. It's centered around the archaeological ruins of the gate through which the Tatar Mongols broke through in December 1240, hence the last barricade, Ostanya Barikada. But what strikes me is this linkage with patriotism, but done in a very subtle way. It doesn't sort of overwhelm you, the Ukrainianness. It gives you plenty to think about while you're enjoying your food and you have concerts there, but it doesn't hit you over the head, with embroidery, with varenike and hopak and all this nice things, but all done sort of in small dosages.
It's our point, it's our mission to show that Ukrainian culture is more than vareniki and vishvanka and hopak.
What they call sharavarshtina.
Yes. It can be modern and it can be a part of international culture. And Ukrainian cuisine may be a great part of international cuisine as well.
Because there's nothing wrong with sharavarshtina. There are plenty of restaurants that provide that if you want the folklore and the ethnic. But you provide your chain. You've set a new standard by providing a sophisticated version of Ukrainianness, a modern version, a European version.
Yes, we want to go deeper, to explore history, to explore authentic Ukrainian cuisine, to explore history of Kiev and history of Ukraine as well, and to rethink it, to create something modern and completely new.
How did the idea of the Barikada come around, or that spot? How did you come across it? Are you aware of the history of how that restaurant came about?
The idea of Ostani Brigada was one of a dream for Dima Borisov, and then he was proposed to make something in at this location, very difficult location, connected with many bloody memories, with very hard period of our history, and it was a challenge for Dima Borisov, and it was a challenge for our team to create something to inspire people, to make people think about history, not to just enjoy having a good time, something more. And it was a very hard challenge to have a balance between entertainment and between education and between history. So we created this multi-space. It's not only a restaurant of modern Ukrainian cuisine and the first Ukrainian bar in Ukraine. It's a museum of three Ukrainian revolutions, and it's also a very great art space. It's a space for political discussion, for social projects. It was the way to solve this problem, how to create something interesting and inspired in this very hard and difficult space.
Dmytro Borisov, Dima, as he's known to his friends, he probably has to subsidize some of the art projects there, because you have concerts almost every night there, low-key, but they're there if people want to listen to good music.
Yes, we have very good art project, and we cooperate with many young bands and with many folk bands who discover authentic Ukrainian music, very hard to listen somewhere else, and it's our mission to support them and to make more people know about this part of Ukrainian culture.
Well, somebody that's cynical would probably say that Mr. Borisov has just cashed in on the patriotic wave that's accompanied the Euromaidan, whatever. But as I understand, Kanapa opened even earlier.
Yes. Yes, Kanapa opened 4 years ago, before Revolution of Dignity. And
I must have taken some planning.
Yes. He had this idea of creating great modern Ukrainian place even earlier, maybe 6 or 5 years ago, but nobody supported him, because they told something, oh, you're a dreamer and it's impossible, and nobody will visit Ukrainian place in Kyiv because we have so many pretty Italian places with pizza and pasta. But he had this dream and he created this place. And
I must say, with very little advertising, I was struck when friends took me to Ostania Barricada, and in some ways it resembles Kryuka in Lviv, because you ask for a password,
yes,
to get in, and it's quite a secret place. You don't spot it from outside. It's hidden. So there's something novel about that too for Kyiv. But I was struck by the fact that there was no advertising, that people seemed to just come over the weeks more and more and more and more and discover it almost by chance, by word and mouth, by hearing it as its reputation grew. Was this a conscious policy?
Yes, the point is that it's part of our strategy. We don't spend money to advertising. We spend money to create a rather good and impressive and inspiring product, to make people to talk about it and to advise it to each other. And it's our strategy, not only for Ostania Brigada, but for all of our restaurants.
I was also impressed by one of your latest, prior to tonight, as I understand, there's going to be a new one opening next door, but Chicken Kyiv. It sounds a bit tacky, Chicken Kyiv, but it's a sophisticated restaurant, and I was struck by somebody who likes retro music, Ukrainian retro music, that you're playing hits from the 60s and 70s, Ukrainian, classic songs about Kyiv, which is rare to find these days. That also is quite a bold move.
We started to work at this project half year ago, and our art manager communicated with many explorers of Ukrainian culture of this period, people who explore Ukrainian music of this period, and they helped us to create this really huge collection of Ukrainian retro music.
It's fantastic. Very good idea. What's the theme of the latest one that's opening? Okay, you said meat, but what will be? Is there a Ukrainian connection there?
Yes, it will be a steakhouse. It calls Vatram. It's all about Ukrainian meat, Ukrainian great dry-aged and wet-aged steaks, and even more, it's about great lamb, and it's all about great Carpathian local products as fish, different mushrooms, different berries, and very, very special tastes. Now we want to explore this region. It's also part of our strategy for maybe 3 or 5 years to discover not only Ukrainian cuisine as it is, but different local and different region of Ukrainian cuisines. So we opened Bessarabia several months ago with great local fish and great local seafood and wine and snails and even frogs as well. Because
you have very good wines in your restaurants. Yeah. You know, the ones that Dima Borisov picks and the Trubetskoy ones that I like and all that. Ukrainian wines have really improved in the last few years. Is this because of Western technologies helping the producers, or how do we explain that we have very good wines all of a sudden, even when Crimea is not under our control?
It because of 5 or 10 dreamers who 10 years ago decided to rethink tradition of winemaking in Ukraine, and they had enough money and enough time and enough power to make wine production better. So for 5 years we are waiting for result, and now we have it, and some of our wines are really impressive. And
what would you recommend for listeners who are coming to Ukraine?
Colonist, Trubetskoy.
I love that, yes.
Trubetskoy wines, they are rather good. Grand Valais, it's a new modern wine making company, but they produce sometimes very interesting wines. And Shaba. Shaba was modernized. Now they have completely new techniques and completely new wines, and some of them are at top level.
So this is what, the Odessa regions, Kherson regions?
Odessa and Kherson. We are waiting for winemaking in Transcarpathian regions, but we have to wait maybe for 3 or 5 years because they to develop and to grow up and to produce something really impressive.
So something to look forward to. Okay, well, just before we start rounding up, and I want to return to Eurovision, but just briefly, how would you assess the state of the restaurant business here? Okay, you represent a very successful chain that's booming and is on the cutting edge, but your main competitors, or how are they doing in what many people would say these are difficult times economically? Do people have the money to go to restaurants? Do people have money to invest in restaurants?
Our economy is difficult for 27 years, but we are living in a time of possibilities, great possibilities. So when somebody has enough money and have great ideas to take a risk and to create something new, now he has all the chances to be really successful and powerful. But if you want just to earn easy money, it's impossible now.
Well, quickly, the obvious question. Corruption, red tape, bureaucracy, backhanders, is that still a major problem to get your businesses underway?
It's a very, very difficult problem, but if you want to be honest, and if you want to create a new kind of society with conscience and with passion, you can struggle and stand.
Okay, so quickly, returning to Eurovision and your positioning of yourself, and I'm speaking to Maria Bankod, who is the public relations manager for Dmytro Borisov's chain, the Gastro family chain of restaurants. You are positioned so well. You're on Sofisky Maidan. You control the commanding heights there of Kyiv during Eurovision, for in the culinary sense. How are people responding to you? I noticed something quite revolutionary, that you have kept prices very low. Mm-hmm. I think 90 hryvnia is the most expensive thing that I could see.
All the dishes are for 90 hryvnias. All of them, even oysters or fish, or maybe this black vareniki with fish, or even steak. It's all about...
Tell us the secret. Why are they black?
And I don't know how to translate.
Octopus ink?
Yes. Karakatitsa, octopus ink. Okay.
Yeah, somebody told me. I cheated a little bit, but I thought our listeners should know the secret. Okay, so...
Now our food at Sofiska Square is not about business and it's not about making money at all. It's just our social project to present Ukrainian cuisine not only to tourists, but to our citizens as well.
So it's a kind of corporate and patriotic responsibility sense of.
Yes.
That's very commendable. And, okay, on the very eve of Eurovision, it's about to kick off. Are you pleased with the reception, with the interest, with the numbers of people? I know they're going to increase dramatically in the next days, but the first responses, are they satisfactory?
Yes, it's quite okay. But the point is that during Eurovision and before Eurovision and after Eurovision, we have plenty of tourists in Kanapa and Barricade every day because some people just plan their journeys to Ukraine for a reason to taste our food and to check our new tasting set and something more. Now we have more tourists and it's great. It's a big challenge, but we're...
Stania Barricada was listed as the best of the new restaurants last year, if I'm not mistaken, in the country.
Yes.
Best startup restaurant.
Yes. Stania Barricada was the best new restaurant, and Kanapa was the best Ukrainian restaurant in Ukraine. Yes.
Finally, on a very positive note, so we focused on Kanapa, we focused especially on Stania Barricada. Which of the... How many restaurants do you have now in the chain?
11.
11 in Ukraine already?
Yes. Wow. 11 in Kyiv.
11 in Kyiv. And any outside of Kyiv?
We have partnership with some kinds of restaurants, and one of them is Bar Mushle in Lviv, for example. It's the first place in Lviv with great local seafood.
Which other two or three would you recommend if you had to select from among the other, from those 11? For newcomers who don't know you.
I'll recommend Bessarabia because it's completely new and it's a chance to discover local river and local sea fish and local seafood in a new way with mango, orange sauces, and it's a great mix of our traditional cuisine and real modern techniques and modern tastes. I'll recommend to visit Ronin because it's a great place with four terraces, with many places for family entertainment and with great Nikkei Japanese Peruvian cuisine. It's a very high level and it's very, very sophisticated. And maybe I'll recommend Ohotonovets as best Asian steakhouse in Kyiv. I think so.
What's it called?
Ohotonovets.
Ohotonovets.
Yes.
Hunting for
yes,
sheep?
Yes. It's devoted to Murakami's novel.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And good luck, and thank you for telling us all about this very courageous effort to modernize Ukrainian cuisine. And also, I think we've been very inspired to hear that you and your team, and especially its leader, that you're so committed to this sense of social, corporate, patriotic responsibility.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maria. We've been listening to Maria Banko, the public relations manager for Dima Borisov's chain, Gastro Family, which is doing a very good job now on the eve of Eurovision and will continue to do so next week in Kyiv. Thank you very much. Now moving on to culture. Well, apart from the preparations for Eurovision, the main cultural event of the week was the opening on the 4th of May of the second Kyiv Art Week, which will run until the 7th of May. Implementing the famous international format, The event will bring together museums and galleries projects, art fair, a conference with participation of international experts, concerts, performances and social events. Kyiv Art Week is becoming an annual event representing the best Ukrainian and world art. Its organizers want the city to appear on the cultural map of international art weeks and gain its proper place alongside with Western counterparts. And meanwhile, there's been movement as regards what to do with old Soviet era monuments that are too difficult to remove and standing there a blight to contemporary eyes. Central Kyiv has two interesting cases in the process of finding solutions. One monument in question is the former monument to Lenin, located on the corner of Shevchenko Boulevard and Khreshchatyk. The granite statue of Lenin itself was toppled during the Maidan protests in December 2013, leaving an empty pedestal. Later, a golden toilet was installed in its place for a while as a metaphor for state corruption and a sign of political protest. In the last years, the pedestal has either stood empty or has been used for art installations. Well, most recently, the art fund Izolyatsiya organized an international competition to build something in this place. The winner, who was chosen by popular vote, turned out to be the project Ritual of Self-Nature by Mexican artist Isa Carrillo. The installation is to cover the pedestal of Lenin with mint and rosemary plants. The aim is to purify a very controversial place and clear the ideological tension by covering the pedestal of the statue with these fragrant plants. Another monument is the former Friendship of Nations Arch, built in Kyiv in 1982 to commemorate the unification of Russia and Ukraine. It's a huge arc of gray titanium that dominates that part of the riverbank. In the lead-up to the Eurovision Song Contest, in a project initiated by the city of Kyiv, it was renamed the Arch of Diversity and painted in rainbow colors, or almost painted in rainbow colors. Although it was expected that the entire arch would be transformed into a giant rainbow, after protests from a few conservative groups, some sections were left unpainted. And that, according to some social critics, is an even better interpretation of the monument. The incomplete rainbow is more representative of Ukraine, which is finding its own path.
Hi, I am Andrei Izdrek, the show's sound engineer, and I am here to present a song for you. In case you haven't heard it yet, here's Ukraine's Eurovision 2017 entry for you to enjoy. The song is called Time. It is performed by Otorvald Band. If you like it, you can vote for it when the competition begins next week.
Slow down, give me some time. Turn down the volume of your cry. Let's take time to find a place without violence. Let's listen and hear the true meaning of silence. Time to look, time to see.
And looking forward, next week we'll be following the headlines for you as always. Tune in for a new episode, and we'd love to hear from you. Write to us at ukrainecalling@hromadskeradio.org. I'm Bohdan Nahailo for Hromadske Radio in Kyiv. Thanks so much for listening.